This is Polykill, where two men, outnumbered by their games and at war with time, undertake the quest of defeating their lengthy backlogs. Please adjust your seat and prepare your ears for the banter of your hosts, Jake and Travis.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 55 of the Polykill Podcast. As always, we're your hosts. I'm Travis. You can find me on social media at Trav Plays Games. I like to play those old games, those retro games. Anything with a little dust I can blow off of it, I'll play it.
Dang right. And I am Jake. I am at the McCaxel on the social media, that being specifically the Insta-G and the Twits. And I enjoy playing a variety of games. I have spent a lot of time with my Switch lately. Enjoying the ever-living hell out of that. And I think I went to my final concert of 2017 last week.
That's impressive. That's what, number 87 this year?
I have seen 94 bands this year.
I was so close, and I wasn't really trying.
Yeah.
That's impressive, though.
Yeah.
Good job.
Thanks.
Well, with us today, we do have a guest, as we're doing here every five or so episodes. This week, we have good old JD from the Play and Listen podcast. JD, tell us all about yourself.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on, guys. This is exciting, man.
No problem, dude. Looking forward for you to be on for a long time.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So, my name is JD. I am the Grandmaster, Janitor, and number one fan of the Play and Listen Gaming Podcast, which is all about video game music.
And it's pretty awesome. I've been on there, Jake. I don't know if you have any intentions of ever being on there with JD, but I've been on the podcast, and recently he's interviewed some good folks, specifically Darren Korb from Supergiant Games.
Love his music.
And what a great episode that was. So happy to have JD on with us. Not sure what JD stands for. Maybe it's like jizz donor or
yeah.
Jury duty. What does it mean?
That is it. I mean, some people, I've said my name a couple times. Some people got a little like, hey, you ruined the mystery.
I mean, like, yeah, we Googled your face and now we're like, you know what? Nah.
I'll give away my first name. My first name's Jonathan. How about that?
What? All right. Jizathan, am I right? You know what I'm saying? All right. So if everybody's new to the show, which of course JD isn't, he emailed us a long time ago and told us that we were kind of okay and cool, and it might have been the first ever email we ever got as a podcast.
I think it was.
But for all the rest of you that are new to the show, we're just trying to get that backlog cleaned off. That's the thing. We got a big old list of games we want to beat before we die, and that's what we're trying to do here. That's what we're going to be talking about.
The main problem being is we like to buy new games too. Mm-hmm. Or we like to acquire old games. So it's a lot of, as they say in the business, we're a lot of churn, you know, a lot of stuff coming in and going out at the same time. And
yeah, we also call that the Taco Bell, I believe.
But yeah. I mean, no, I don't have a problem with Taco Bell. I don't know whatever you weak stomached asses have with Taco Bell.
You know,
I can
what?
Eat Taco Bell three meals a day and have no irregularity.
That's that might be the most impressive thing about you. Forget going to see 94 bands. The fact that you're just a steel drum when it comes to Taco Bell is probably your best feature. Last week, we released an off-kilter episode that would be our side podcast where we talk about anything but games. And that was all about pet peeves. Of course, JD donated a few pet peeves for us. JD, thank you. Those were quite good.
Rahoot.
Yeah, I leaned more on the things I hated more than pet peeves because I kind of just hate things that pet peeves become things I hate anyway.
I think that happens with repeated exposure to pet peeves. If you're in close proximity to something that you are either ambivalent to or just don't like, even to a mild amount, repeated exposure to that will just make you hate it.
That reminds me. Today at work, this is actually kind of funny. I get a break, you know, twice a day at work, 15 minutes. I'm going to pick up my breakfast I get every day, and this guy, I'm a filthy cigarette smoker, unfortunately. So I was finishing up my cigarette, and this guy holds the door open for me for the place, and I wasn't ready to go in. So I encountered the scenario that I often hate, but it worked out just fine. I was like, no, I'm good, thank you, sir. And he's like, no problem, have a good day. Perfectly fine. I entered the place a few seconds later. It was great, man.
Or you could have just awkwardly walked in while he held the door, and then as he passed you, walk back out. That's the passive aggressiveness I would have gone with. Just being like, I don't feel like telling him. I'll just walk in and then slowly turn around and walk back out and make him confused for the rest of the day. But no, that's cool. I think my favorite one from the ones you donated was just Poison Ivy right off the bat. That's the first one you hit us with, and I thought that was hilarious. Yeah. So to recap that, you know, we did the pet peeves. We went down the rabbit hole of things we hated. And then I made a mistake, guys. I missed one. Somebody had sent us one a few weeks back via the Polykill Twitter account. It got lost in the shuffle, and I forgot to read it. So I'm going to read those now. These are from Dean. Dean's pet peeves, a special segment here for Dean, because I don't want to discourage anyone from sending us anything. So I want to make sure we read them all here. So Dean's pet peeves, belated pet peeves. Number one. And Dean, being a collector of figures and statues, says he doesn't like when his figures and statues don't stand up properly. Either make them with a stand or don't make them at all, he says. Yeah, I know. That's got to be a big one for Dean with thousands of those things and they won't stand up. That's got to be a big pain in the ass.
Dean.
Amen, Dean. Number two, tour groups that insist on holding up an umbrella while using the covered half of the sidewalk. Pick one. I'm assuming he's talking about a rainy day here, you know?
I don't know. I don't get this. I don't have this problem, but maybe it's just, you know, I don't live in a place where there's a lot of tours.
And it could be a Banff issue, but you're thinking, you know, if there's a sidewalk and some of it's covered and people can be sheltered from the rain and people are walking under that with their umbrella, you know, you get outside, let the people not with an umbrella in on
makes
that.
Sense.
You know, that's what I'm picturing.
Kind of crazy.
It doesn't seem like a thing that just happens all the time to me, but it must happen in Dean's world
enough
quite
to be
regularly.
A pet peeve.
Now, Dean goes by Dean Lasagna in the Cartridge Club, and he says he doesn't like lasagna from a box, and I gotta admit, I prefer a good old homemade
dude, that's
lasagna.
Sacrilegious, man.
Yeah, I agree with that, absolutely. He says people who hike out here, of course he's referring to lovely and dangerous Banff, Canada, people who hike out here without bear spray, I'm tired of saving you, he says. He doesn't, you know, take the bear spray with you.
Don't be stupid.
And number five, Dean says, watching people walk past literally a dozen how-to signs at airport security and still do it wrong every goddamn time. That's what Dean says.
Okay.
He doesn't like people that can't navigate
follow
the airports. So thanks for submitting those, Dean. And I'm with you on pretty much all those, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Now, the next off-kilter is going to be about close calls. And of course, that's a broad term. But anything where you just narrowly escaped something, you know, whether it be maybe it's a speeding ticket or a ticket in general. Or
death.
I mean, that'd be the best. Then we're really hoping you narrowly escaped that and you'll send that to us.
Yeah.
And whatever else you can think of.
Yeah, whatever close calls, whether it's, you know, you almost married somebody that you realize now is like an axe murderer or something like that Michael Myers movie.
Right, yeah. Is that what it's called? Almost Married an Axe Murderer? So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. JD, do you have any examples of a good close call people could submit?
Oof, off the top of my head, you know... I probably have some pretty bad ones. I don't even know if I'd feel comfortable sharing because it really shows how troublesome I was as a younger man. We'll just put it that way.
Fair enough.
I mean, you were almost lost forever in foggy Normandy, so
oh man, that was crazy, dude. I mean, I probably wasn't actually like my spatial awareness was probably off quite a bit because of the state I was in. But, you know, the essence I was trying to get at is like, imagine that, like imagine being in that position under those circumstances, like how scared you'd be, you know?
Yeah. Terrified.
Yep. Good story. Good, good funny story. But for sure, I can put myself in those shoes. And in a high foggy world, it would definitely be discomforting in a foreign land.
High foggy world.
Now it takes us in.
Sounds like a good video game.
It does, actually. So recent pickups and on the radar, speaking of video games, we'll get to that now. We're going to start with games that we've picked up. Of course, we had Black Friday here recently, and, you know, as most of us do, we go on that little game-buying rampage.
Mm.
Now,
good deals. Hard to pass up.
Hard to pass up.
Savings.
And, you know, recently EA, of course, a very wholesome company, in the good graces of pretty much everybody in the gaming industry right now, I couldn't help but give them a little bit of money for Titanfall 2,
sure,
which they published, and Madden 18, which I know seems out of character, but a few folks in the club said, hey, I'd like to play a little Madden with you. And I said, you know what, girl, let's do it. So four of us are going to get together and do a little Madden season,
nice,
despite our current distaste for some of the stuff EA's doing. And then I went ahead and got the second season of the Telltale Batman game, Batman Enemy Within. So that's what I picked up.
Very nice.
How about you, Jake? What'd you get?
Well, as far as pickups, I did get four games, all heavily discounted on either Black Friday or Cyber Monday, beginning with a digital pickup of What Remains of Edith Finch. This is a game I've actually been kind of excited for and glad that it finally came out on PlayStation, then eventually made its way over to other platforms. Picked that up. Also, if you're a fan of limited run games, I think it's them. It may be I Am 8-Bit are doing a physical release of this game. So if you're into that sort of thing, you can pick that up soon. Also picked up The Evil Within 2 for a measly $25.
It's a good deal.
pretty stoked about that one. Also grabbed Prey, which is a game I've been stoked about and interested in. Grabbed it for $15.
Hot. Oh, man. That's a steal.
Total steal. And then last but not least, I picked up a Wonder Boy the Dragon's Trap on the old Switch.
Dude, that's a good little crop of games you got
there. I feel good about them. I feel good about them.
JD, what did you get?
Actually, I haven't been buying any games lately. I've been I've been knocking out stuff that's been sitting on the shelf there, just unfinished. You know, I have a habit of playing multiple games at once or getting sucked into one game really bad, like, you know, The Witcher or Zelda, and I'll just play those games over and over and over. So I was like, you know what, it's time to knock some stuff out. So
you feel better about it? Like, has it been cathartic getting those games out of the life?
I mean, yeah, it wasn't like it was stressing me out before, but I just gonna be spending quite a large sum of money very shortly, so it's just like, you know, take a break, you know, maybe not buy every single game that comes out, knock some stuff out.
What are you, buying a house or something stupid?
Yeah, man, exactly. How'd you know?
it's a big, dumb purchase.
I was going for a brain transplant, but house. Wow.
House, yeah, we got to have one. Yeah. So, all right, so those are games that we've picked up. Let's talk about the games that we're looking out for here, coming out here soon.
I ain't looking for none. I'm done with this year. It's over, dead me.
You know, it's the time of year where not a lot of games, yeah, I mean, if they're going to come out, they're out, you know?
I mean, I say there's none. There's one, but it's going to be a while before I pick it up, and that is Xenoblade Chronicles 2 for Switch.
Gotcha.
That's just another massive open world RPG that's going to take a while for me to get to, considering how many of those type of games I already have ahead of it in the backlog. But... you know, that's I'm not even enough to really say I'm interested.
Wait is still JD's only radar.
Oh, shit.
Good job there.
I didn't look at his radar.
Thanks a lot, man. Thanks a lot, Jake. I really appreciate it.
I was trying to be
man.
Respectful and not look at another man's radar.
we radar peek on here, okay? We peek. For me, just Fallout 4 VR, and again, I don't have a Vive, but we have a close friend who does, and I'm sure he'll be picking that up, and so I'll get a chance to dabble in it.
Oh, that's interesting that I really figured the Doom.
That was last week. Never mind.
It comes out the day after we record this. Never mind.
It's a little. We're a little off.
I'm a dummy. I'm a dummy.
Offset. But yeah, no, you're right. I am excited for that and Fallout 4.
JD, did you have anything on your radar?
Well, a matter of fact, Xenoblade 2 and that sweet, sweet Breath of the Wild DLC that's supposed to come out this month.
Oh yeah, that's the one with the Guardians, right? The four Guardians.
Champions DLC. Champions, I think they're calling Champions. It.
Yeah, yeah. I meant Champions, and did not mean Guardians.
Same difference.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I think they have an amiibo pack for those too, if I recall.
Oh girl. They do. Amiibos.
I've already got all of them except for one that I'm boycotting.
Sweet. Oh shit.
You know what the amiibos have been going up in price with, you know, the Zelda ones that came out jumped up to $15.99, and I've sort of stopped buying it because of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but these ones are so sweet, man. Like, I'm not an amiibo guy. I like figures, but these Breath of the Wild ones are really sweet, man.
Yeah, there's some nice ones. I really like I think the thing I like the most about the Breath of the Wild amiibo, and I only have one, and that's the Archer Link, but I really just love the color palette. You know,
absolutely.
I love the color palette of Breath of the Wild, and, you know, usually when you look at amiibo, they're very bright and they're almost primary colors, and you look at these and they have some gradient, they have some different kind of tones, and I just think they look really badass.
The Guardian one, man. That's
oh
that
yeah,
one,
that one's awesome.
It's bigger. I think that one was actually $20, but it's huge, and it's really beautiful. And I need to get another one because I'm not going to open any of these till I have duplicates.
You can use them as bookends.
Yeah, there you go. That's pretty much what they are right now.
Nice.
All right, so that's it for the radar and pickups. Let's take it into what happened last time.
Let's check it out.
Previously on Polykill, Trav gets a massive hard-on. Wait a minute. JD, did you sabotage the previously on? That was off-limits. Trav gets a massive retro haul from a mystery caller, and Jake has succumbed to a pesky sickness. Each host killed at least a game off the old backlog. Trav finished Last of Us, and Jake wrapped up Super Mario Odyssey campaign. EA's transgressions, the upcoming Super Mario movie, and Black Friday deals get some attention in the Hot Jake section. The golden age of beat-em-ups and the experiences with games from that era serves as the topic of discussion.
All right, so we dubbed this part in there, JD.
Yes, sir. I remember this from the live show.
Oh, yes.
We got to see it in action.
Showed her hand a little bit there.
Oh, my God. Already, the document's alive.
Yeah, we already recorded that. So whenever everybody's ready, we'll just take it on in to the next section. Everybody's ready? All right, we're ready to go. And we're back. So last episode, Jake was down with the sickness. You feeling better there, Jake?
I am feeling better. I tell you one thing that does not feel better, and that is this here shoulder blade.
So listen.
This is what happens when you get old. Don't get old, kids. I got up this morning, felt fine, woke up at like 6:30. I was like, all right, got enough time to get to work. I'm good. I got out of bed, moved around. I was like, you know what? We feel real good right now. A good stretch, like an overhead stretch where you just like, and just stretch real hard. I did that. And then something just felt like it just gave in my shoulder blade. Been hurting
all day.
That's awful. So yeah. you are officially old, I think.
I'm officially old. Like, if you can hurt yourself doing nothing, I think you're old.
Yeah, I mean, doing the very, you know, a basic human activity of stretching when you wake up, and that just kills you. That's not good.
Yeah, I don't know what I did.
Well, I'm glad you're feeling better in
but
some
other
regard.
Than that, I feel
but
good. Yeah.
I'm really sorry to hear about that there. Shoulder blade. All right, well, no, let's go ahead and hit that Hot Jake's music. I'm ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, Hot Jake's music is now bumping. Let's go Super Mario cereal.
Milk and Mevo.
Switch dominates Black Friday and Cyber Monday sales.
Snap!
All right. Super Mario cereal, Milk and Meebos.
Yeah.
You think?
So, like, Super Mario Brother or Super Mario cereal, have you seen this?
I saw a headline.
Is this a real thing?
This is a real thing.
Yeah, we don't cover this. Isn't fake news, Jake.
This is not fake news.
Oh, my goodness, man. This is I can't wait to hear this.
This is something that Nintendo actually confirmed, I think today or maybe the day before, but there is coming a Super Mario cereal, and on each box there's gonna be like one of those NFC like amiibo cards.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you put your box of cereal on your Switch,
maybe, or you just cut that out of the box, you know. Maybe
you know there's gonna
like
be people out there that don't want to hurt the box. It's
right.
All about the box.
It is coming from Kellogg's, and it looks to be from all indications something along the lines of a Lucky Charms.
Ooh. Okay.
So they have my buy-in immediately. I mean, you got Mario in the box. It's a bright red box. You got Mario on there. You got Cappy on there. And they're both just eyeballing this big bowl of cereal. And
that is so 90s. Oh, my God.
It really is 90s, but I'm kind of glad to see cereal embrace the video games a little more. You know what's been going on, boys, in other cereal news.
The
if
Post
I might.
Stuff, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've been regular as fuck the last 2 weeks because we've been buying that Post cereal. I've been entering those amiibo codes, entering those codes so I can get a Switch. I've probably bought 7 Switches in Post cereal just so I can get a chance to win a Switch. But I've been can fucking shit on a dime. Like, you fucking tell me what time it is, I'll do it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, dude, it's been something else.
That's great.
Man, all right, that's great.
But I'm pretty excited about this. You know, like, as soon as this hits stores, you know, I'm going to go buy a few boxes. Now, I don't know what the amiibo functionality is going to be. I haven't found that anywhere yet. I don't know if it's going to be I assume it's probably going to be a Super Mario Odyssey primary function. I don't think it's going to be outfits, but maybe, you know, some kind of, like, you know, something. I don't know. Who knows? But we'll see. I'm excited. It's cool.
Can you think of a time, and not so much with the amiibos, obviously, that's a new thing, but can you think of a time when video games and cereal have crossed paths in the past? I'm trying to think, growing up in the 90s, were there video game cereals? I don't remember any.
I feel like, between like the Nintendo powerhouse of the you know, late 80s, early 90s, there had to be some kind of crossover there. I also feel like that at some point Sega would have had something. I feel like I've seen... Or should have seen Sonic on a box at some point. I mean, he's a very marketable character.
He kind of is a berry color.
Yeah.
All right, I'm looking here. Back in the 80s and 90s, there was a box by Ralston called the Nintendo Cereal System, and it came with two. You got fruity and berry flavors. Is almost like a I don't know the names of cereals really, but fruit puffs, fruit pops, fruity pebble
fruit
pops,
loops?
Fruit Loops maybe. Yeah, go with that.
Fruity Pebbles.
It's been a while since I've eaten a cereal quite like that. Now I've been regular on that Post cereal with the granola, but it had a super. Oops, I just lost the page, but it had Super Mario and a Zelda theme there on the box. So yeah, this is hearkening back to the 80s and 90s. So that's really cool.
Donkey Kong cereal. I feel like I've seen some Donkey Kong cereal here.
Probably. Now there's been some Ghostbusters cereal and stuff like that. Maybe some Pac-Man cereal I'm seeing here. So yeah, it's been done before, so that's interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like there's been like a Street Fighter character on like Wheaties or something like that. I could have swore I saw that somewhere.
I can see that.
It may have been George St. Pierre, but okay. Yeah, that's fine. But anyway, so that's been all the rage. This Super Mario cereal, this Bright Red boxes. I'm, you know, totally gonna to purchase some of that when I get the chance.
There you go, man. Awesome. Well, next item is Switch dominates Black Friday and Cyber Monday sales. What do you mean? What do you mean by that?
This is one of the funniest things I think that has happened in terms of one, Nintendo haters, and two, just the whole idea of Black Friday and Cyber Monday and all that. Is the number one large purchased item over the weekend of that Black Friday, Cyber Monday was Nintendo Switch consoles. And guess what? They weren't discounted a fucking bit.
Yeah, that's right.
So they were still full price. So people are still going out, braving whatever, or sitting by their computers and hitting F5, or, you know, just pulling down on their browsers to get them to professional mobile, and like paying close attention to buy something at full price. Hilarious to me.
Do you think just because it's Black Friday and Cyber Monday, people were in the mood to spend money, and it was kind of there?
Maybe, but I mean the fact that it beat out everything else.
Or maybe they just thought it was discounted.
Maybe
they're like $299. It's cheaper than the PS4.
That's awesome.
You know, maybe they thought of it that way.
I mean, it wasn't, not by a long shot.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Like the new one or
the Pro is $349 over Black Friday, and the Slim, 1 terabyte, was $199.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, and Xbox One S's were going for $189. So people just really want that Switch, man.
That's cool. Then I remember a long time ago I said I would wait for a Black Friday deal to buy the Switch.
Right. We all did. I mean, honestly, I did.
And maybe a lot of people just said, "Fuck it, I'm just deal or not. I'm going in.
Deal or not deal." And they walked in and they saw those big Bud Light towers of Switch boxes like you saw in your Best Buy, and
that was nuts. I've gone from not seeing a Switch box in person in any store to seeing a tower of them, just a tower, just mocking me with its size and scale. But again, I walked away without one. I had to buy some other things this Black Friday. Mm.
But honestly, what I think this really is a testament to, in my opinion, is first of all, I think, you know, we've had the Switch on the market since March, so I mean we're coming up on 9 months. This thing is selling, I think, probably at least on pace with production, and Nintendo's already said that they're going to scale up Switch production next year. Nintendo keeps releasing great first party games almost monthly at this point. You know, we've gotten some huge Hallmark titles in these first 9 months, a brand new Mario game. We got essentially a new Legend of Zelda game. I know it was on Wii U, but I think most people associate this as a Switch game. We got Mario Kart. We got ARMS. We got Splatoon 2. We just got the new Xenoblade game. So, like, they're delivering, and I really think that, you know, I'm not the first one to say this, and I'm, you know, this might come back to bite me in the ass, but I really just think Nintendo's back.
They're back. All
right. Agreed.
I think they're back.
Hey, 2 out of 3, and I'll agree. 3 out of 3 here on Polykill. We think that Nintendo is back.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on that, JD, about the Switch dominating on Black Friday and Cyber Monday?
Not surprising. I mean, it just, you know, to repeat what Jake said, Mario, Zelda, and Mario Kart all in 1 year. I mean, that's, say what you want about Nintendo. I mean, they do some weird boneheaded things, but that's some serious firepower right there. So it's not much anybody can do to compete with that.
And you know, and to sort of to keep going on about this, I guess, the simple fact that they are getting embraced by some pretty heavy hitters in terms of third-party stuff. I know, but like I've said before, Bethesda seems to be all in on the Nintendo train. 2K seems to be all in on the Nintendo train. I think there's some other people that need to step up, like Capcom and Bandai Namco and people like that, that can really bring some interesting content to the Switch. But as things progress, I really just think we're going to see more and more of it. Plus, we get some really good downloadable titles, and we've, you know, I think we're just getting started with the Switch. So I'm pretty excited about where the system's going to go.
Good deal. It's good to have a lot of positive energy surrounding Nintendo, because there for a number of years, a lot of us were wondering if they would give up on the console market, give up on the hardware market, and just start licensing their games to Microsoft and Sony. And
God, that would be a sad day.
I'm happy it didn't happen. Really happy it didn't happen.
Me too.
So that's good news. All right. Well, that's been your Hot Jakes.
Hot Jakes.
Wrap it up. Put a bow on it. Let's move on to games that we have completed or retired. JD, what have you knocked off your backlog here recently?
Tell us.
Well, I knocked off Dishonored 2, finally.
That's not what the sheet says,
though. The sheet
though.
Does not say dishonored.
Knocked off the backlog?
It says disbonered.
Oh, right.
Welcome
That's right.
to the show.
See, I wasn't reading it. Sorry, let me start that over. Yeah, guys, I knocked off disbonered. Oh, come on now. God, this the third one's great. Disbonered 2, which I had trouble with that game back when I played it. I had it on the Xbox, and I don't know if it was like this on the PS4 too, but I was getting like motion sick from it, and that like doesn't happen to me with regular games. If I put on a VR headset, I'll be puking everywhere. But yeah, so I just kind of was chipping away at it over time. Finally, I fired it up on the 1X, and it did run a little bit smoother. You know, got patched or whatever, so I was able to knock that bad boy out. Halo Wars 2, which nice. Courtesy of Frankie, our friend, was you know nagging me to play that game, play it, and he went out of his way and got me a code for it. So I played through that, and it was awesome. And Very then nice. this one here, it's an unofficial add-on for Skyrim. But okay. It kind of has Bethesda's blessing, and it's called Fart Scar. I mean, Foul Scar. So it was good stuff.
Very cool. Very cool. I actually have Disbonered 2 on my old backlog, and that's one I'm probably going to jump into maybe before the end of the year.
You say things, and I don't believe are you. Anymore.
Well, it's not out of the realm of possibility that I jump on this game.
Are you?
Soon.
Are you playing on what platform are you going to play it on?
1X.
Okay, so if you get a chance and you can fire it up on like a base Xbox or PS4 or whatever, see if like there's a scene where this lady's bringing you somewhere on the boat and the water was like it was just chugging so bad and like shimmering so bad I actually felt sick to my stomach and it was totally gone on the 1X. So
interesting. Was it like maybe some weird motion blur or something they had going on?
Yeah, I checked and I turned off some stuff and it just, oof, it was rough. But I'm sure it's great on the 1X. Well, it is good on the 1X. I'm sure it's good on the Pro and on PC, though, too.
Nice.
Wow, that's very interesting. I don't think I've ever heard of anyone encountering anything like that. So that's neat, kind of. Sorry that you had to deal with it, but it's neat. I think it's neat.
Science!
Yeah, for science. It's interesting.
Yeah. Jake, what about you? What'd you knock out?
I knocked off 2. Games. The first is Kamiko.
Now tell me about Kamiko. I'm not that
sweet.
Familiar.
This is a sweet ass little game, is what I'll say to begin with. This is a $5 downloadable title for your Nintendo Switch. If you have a Switch and you don't have this game, shame on you. You should get it because it's a cute little game. I don't know, somewhere like in terms of art style, it sort of falls between Link to the Past and the original Legend of Zelda. It's sort of the same map style. It doesn't have the shifting tiles like the original or even Link to the Past, but it's you have these worlds. You have three different characters you can play. Each character has a different weapon type. So one has a sword, one has a bow, and one has a third thing that I don't remember because I haven't played as her yet.
Bouncy ball or something.
Something, yeah. It's something unique. And you play through these worlds and you like, go into each world. There's enemies and it's very simple. You have to fight off waves of enemies and go to these shrines and like activate 4 shrines per level. And then when you do that, it unlocks a boss battle. You fight that boss, move to the next level. I really think this is one of the, in terms of value, I think it's probably one of the best games on the Switch at that price point. Very enjoyable little title. And I really hope the studio does something else because...
Now, what studio was it?
I don't remember. I mean, it's awful that I don't remember.
I think it's a Japanese studio. Like, I think the name's in Japanese, too.
But lovely little color palette and nice pixel art. Very easy to pick up and play. Great in handheld mode. And one of those games that's perfect to play on the go because you can kind of play it in bursts and knock out a level and move on. I think total time, because it keeps a running clock while you play. So I think total time for me was like around 2 hours to beat the whole thing.
Okay, so not bad.
But yeah, it's a game I'll probably go back to. It plays a different character, which makes me a different class, and run through it again with another one just because it's a lot of fun.
It was developed, in fact, by Skipmore and published by Fly High Works.
Fly High Works. That's the one that I had in mind that I couldn't remember.
All Jake, right. How about that boss fight music, man?
Boss fight music was great. I really loved, I think the one that sticks out mainly because I beat it 2 nights ago, that final boss battle in the sky.
Yeah.
Great music. Great music. I mean, it's real A real treat. Real treat of a game. So
$5, people.
Yeah. Got to play it.
JD, have you featured any music from Kimiko on your Play and Listen podcast?
I actually have, because I was very fond of the soundtrack for it. And they actually, you unlock the music as you play, so you can listen to it at your leisure.
That's
very
brilliant.
Neat. Very neat.
I love that. I love it when games do that.
Agreed.
So the other game that I finished was What Remains of Edith's Foot.
You know, sometimes I like to be benign with it. You know, I try to get away from the genitals and all the things, but the foot. I had to put the foot in.
Oh, I just pictured a smelly gangrene foot or something. Yep. Ugh.
With bits of it missing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What remains of it?
Yep.
We got an ankle bone and some phalanges.
Some phalanges.
What Remains of Edith Finch, though? Picked this up for $13 digitally on Xbox One, and played through it earlier this week. Had a free night. It was like, I'm just going to go to town on this and see what happens. And it's a game that I definitely recommend playing in one swath, one sitting. It's probably 2.5 to 3 hours, depending on how much you want to nose around in there. But it is what I would consider a first-person experience, but it's probably one of the better told stories that I've ever played in a game. Have you seen anything about it, Trav?
You know, aside from just the little icon of it, you know, the imagery, which is very simplistic, I really know next to nothing about it.
Awesome, you should play it. JD, have you dabbled in this game, know anything about it?
I have not dabbled with the Wet Remains of Edith Finch yet.
I should
hope. Okay. So, it's, you know, I'll not spoil anything. A couple of things I will say. One is, it's one of those stories that is told through multiple perspectives, but yet you still play a lead character. So you go into a house and you're trying to find out, you know, some information about a certain person. You find a note or a book or an object about this person, and you pick it up and then you start reading it, and then you transform into this other person and then play out what was written down. And then come back to your main character, and you just do this for multiple people.
Wait, is this game? Is it like you're stuck in like a time loop or something like that?
Nope, it's not anything like that. Actually,
I could have swore I just heard someone talking about this game. I might be mixing up with something, but either way, that does sound pretty cool.
And there's some really imaginative things done, because some of the stuff that you do is about children, so you get some really vivid gameplay elements that are like right out of the imagination of a child. That it is complete nonsense, but beautiful at the same time, because it is just straight up imagination with no real boundaries. Another thing I'll say is, this game is sad as fuck. Don't go into this thinking, I'm going to sit down and pop some popcorn and sip some, you know, chai tea latte and have a great night and all that, because what you're going to do...
Well, once you see what's left of that fucking foot,
yeah,
it's not good.
But seriously, this game is melancholy as hell. But if you're like me and you find, I guess, some weird form of beauty in the dismal and the dark, I think you'll enjoy it. And regardless of its, I guess, value in terms of good or bad or positive or negative, it's a game that's worth playing and a story that's worth knowing, because it's really interesting. So highly recommend the game.
Well, I'm going to have to check that out now that you spoke so highly of it.
Yeah,
that's quite an endorsement.
And music is fantastic, too. IM8-Bit just did a vinyl pressing of the soundtrack. So
excellent, excellent. I am a fan of the dark, moody stuff, so I'm probably definitely going to get that.
Yeah, and like I said, you play through it in the night, and like I did, and it's pretty engrossing. Like, I found myself like, God, what happened? What happened next? Or, oh, why did that happen? And it was good. It was nice.
Good deal, man. We're glad to hear about that game. It's a game that I've heard people talk about, or I've seen in places, and I've never quite known what it was all about. So you did a good job there of explaining it to us. And
good.
It's certainly more and more on my radar now that you've talked about it. So
yeah, it's $20 full price. So
yeah, it was $13 during Black Friday, 13. I believe. So yeah, all right. Well, I regret not now,
idiot.
Games
but how does oh, it to, compared to NFL quarterback club. That's what I want to know.
You know, and I'll get to it. If you just hold your horses, we're about to get into some deep, engrossing, enthralling, and other adjectives that Jake has approved for this show about the games that I beat, which let's kick it off here. 1942, a little shoot 'em up made by Capcom there. You know, it was an arcade port. I played it on the NES. Now, Jake, your wife is a historian, but more for World War I, is that right?
She knows a lot of shit about a lot of times and a lot of wars.
Huge
but...
history fan. I love that stuff, man.
Yeah.
But what's your question?
Well, I just want to ask, and maybe this is for both of you. Do you remember during World War II?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't. I wasn't alive. But go on.
But do you remember hearing the tale, of course, about a great American hero who flew in the Pacific Theater of World War II and single-handedly shot down about 900 Japanese fighting planes?
No.
Because I did that the other night in 1942, and true story, did that. Now,
I got to say, I think 900 is probably at least triple what they actually had in the whole war.
You know, and it might be a third of the ones I shot down in the game, because I was doing it for a long, long time. I was just kind of, you know, if you Google how many enemy planes are in 1942, it doesn't tell you. Google doesn't have any idea.
Yeah.
But, you know... girl, I was flying through the sky, shooting planes up so high. I told you, JD, I'd bring a little music into this today. I'm trying to feel good, boys. Let's do this. I was just feeling it that night. And
now, see, I love this game. Every time we go to Boxcar, I throw quarter after quarter in this thing, sit there, sip my beer, and play that 1942. Love it.
Yeah, 1942 or 43, both of them right there. Very similar games. And, you know, I was just feeling it that night. You know, you remember back in, we're about to get to a full year since our New Year's resolutions, and when I said, you know, I want to beat a shooter.
You want to beat a shmup.
I want to beat a shmup, yeah. And I beat a couple this year, but, 1942 is just sort of one of those tried and true ones. It's
solid.
And I was just feeling it that night, and just fucking finagling through the sky and doing it, baby, and it felt good, and I beat it, and I surprised myself. I had, you know, it starts you off, it counts you down levels, so it starts you at like 32, I think, and then you beat that stage, and it's like, now you got 31 to go, you got 30 to go.
That's
and the
fun.
Furthest I've gotten before was like 26.
Ugh.
Like, I hadn't made it very far at all, but I got down until like 8 that night, and I was like, this is happening.
If I could do this.
This is happening. So nice. I went ahead and just beat it. You know what I'm
just
saying?
Beat it.
That takes me into Wanderers of Ease. It's Ease 3 there. Developed by a company that has the worst name for a video game developer, Advanced Communication.
That's awful. Sounds like a degree.
Yeah, or it sounds like a phone company from the late 70s.
Right.
You know?
Right up there with Bell and MCI.
Yeah, so 1991, this game came out there on the Super Nintendo, and most of the Ease games I found were not ported over from Japan. So,
do they still make the Ease games, or is it Nipponichi that does those now?
Advanced Communication doesn't even have its own Wikipedia, so I don't think they do much. Now, this one was interesting because it is a side-scrolling action platforming RPG Metroidvania. Okay?
That sounds awesome.
Now, to sum that up, that is not what I expected at all, because I was aware that the previous Ease games, Ease 1 and 2, were these top-down, and it was full-on auto-attack. You just ran into enemies and let the game do the math, and this one was much more action-y. I was slicing and a-dicing monsters in a cave, and just running through caves, slicing and dicing them. Got my sword, and it's nothing like I expected, but I had so much fun with this game. It took me maybe 3 sit-downs to beat it.
Three sit-downs. So you just sat down 3 different times, and you beat it.
Yeah, you stand up, you sit down, you stand up, you sit down, you stand up, you sit down, and then eventually it's done.
Nice.
But no, really, it was... I got addicted to it, and I didn't know it was anything
That's
like
cool.
it turned out to be, so I highly endorse this game. I find it interesting because I was like, man, I should really dial into the Ease series a little bit, and I realized that after this one, the next North American Ease release was Ease 6. That didn't come until 2005.
That's crazy.
And so the ones in between, I don't know if they're...
That's the Oath of Felhion?
The Ark of Nipichim.
The Ark of Nipichim.
came out in 2005 on the PS2 and the PSP, the Ark of that...
And there was one that came out maybe 3 years ago on the PS Vita called Memories of Salsetta.
Yeah, and then there's a new one called Dana of Lacrimosa, I believe. And so
now, it seems that the development of these have been bounced around from Hudson Soft, Taito, Konami, and Nihon Falcom.
Jumping around a little
That's
bit.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So, yeah, I don't really exactly know what's up with the Ease franchise, who owns it, and who does what with what. I don't know if it's based on
it's not Konami. Fuck Konami. They ain't doing games no more.
Fuck. But, yeah, so I was skeptical of the Ease series, but now I'm a believer. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Move on, please. That pun.
That was pretty good, though.
That was great.
Wolfenstein the Old Blood.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, fellas, I saw a lot of new blood, very fresh blood. A lot of brain brain matter, head gravy, if you will. Lots of melon splats. Not a lot of old blood in it at all. Didn't see an old blood a bit, but now, man, what a fun game.
JD, have you played this?
I have. I played both the New Order and the Old Blood.
Now, see, I'm probably in the minority, but the way I remember it and my impressions of beating both in terms of story and action, I had more fun with the Old Blood because it was more...
Which was the one that was the older setting, like more World War II-y instead
of
futuristic?
The Old Blood.
Yeah,
okay. This was like the prequel. You had some weird supernatural stuff going on.
Yeah, I like this one better too.
It was narrative driven, and it was just like balls to the wall zaniness, which I really enjoyed. So what was your impression? Because I know you started this game January?
Yeah. So I loaded my last save from January, and I realized after about an hour of cursing and trying to hang myself with my controller cord, which doesn't exist because I played this on a modern console, that I had my difficulties all janked up.
Oh, no.
I played a section where I'm coming out of the vent. I'm supposed to drop down, kill a dude, and then fight my way around. And, oh, man.
This sounds like GoldenEye. Are you sure you're talking about GoldenEye?
No, this was Old Blood, friend. And okay. It was like 20 times I tried this, and I tried it 20 times in January, and then I got the balls to load it up again. I tried it 20 times again. And I was like, what in the F? I said F. And I looked, and it was on the fucking hardest difficulty. And I was like, who the fuck do I think I am?
Who do you think you are?
I turned it down a notch, and then the rest of the game was so much fun. It was so much better at that point, because I had gotten really frustrated. I was like, I don't know if I want to stick with this.
Yeah.
I suck at it, clearly, but turns out I had just sabotaged myself.
Now, I'm going to quick, like, if you haven't beat this game, I'm going to talk a little spoilery, just slight spoilery elements. So if you don't want to know about this, skip ahead maybe a minute. If you're still here, you don't care. So, did you enjoy the
twist?
The twists.
Yeah, it's a little like from Dusk Till Dawn.
A little Dusk Till Dawn,
yeah.
and the fire that's raining from the sky.
Yeah, you know, it was a little jarring, to be quite honest.
I loved that.
I didn't see that coming, and when it happened, I was like, okay. And then the game got a little more fun at that point.
Yeah, it becomes less, I don't know, it becomes less stressful. It almost turns a little doomish to me because it's like, let's just blow the shit out of these
it
things.
Stops being as serious for sure.
Yeah.
The tone shifts. It's a large tonal shift.
I enjoyed that.
But
I love that.
I didn't mind it a bit. Shotgunning them old dumb dumb Nazis in the face, baby, baby. I told you I was going to sing to you, JD.
Yeah,
and like I said, I turned it down a notch. Great twist. And like you said, not as many of those glorious cutscenes I really liked about the New Order,
right.
But I still had fun as hell in it.
Yeah, it's a great game. And well worth the $20 I spent on it 2 years ago. So I imagine you can pick it up at least that cheap, if not less. Now. So if you haven't played it, I highly recommend you do it.
All right. So another game. You remember a couple weeks ago or a couple episodes ago, I said, I'm going to, I don't know why I did it. I said, I need to get these sports games. I need to exercise them a little bit. They're sitting there on the shelf staring me down. I got John Madden staring at me with his big old fat jaws and mouth, and he's not getting any play time. He's watching me play Ease and all these other good games. And I said, Madden, let me put you in there a little bit. And of course, play him a little bit. But last time I'm sure you did say that. Yeah, I said that to him. I talk out loud in my game room. I put in NFL Quarterback Club 96, probably the best game I played in the last 2 weeks and beat. You know, no, I'm kidding. It wasn't that great.
I imagine it was awful.
No, it was actually fine. But, you know, I'm pretty burnt out on the sports. So I might have been a little ambitious with 10. I think I knocked 4 out. I felt pretty good about it, you know.
Oh, so you're just going to change the rules so you can win.
I just got it out of my system. I might try again next year and beat a few more. You know, they're going to be around forever.
All right.
I ain't too worried about it. I don't even want to spend a little more time talking about it. I'm going to move on.
All right.
Two, a game that I'm retiring.
Oh, no.
Vagrant Story.
Why are you retiring Vagrant
Story? Well, I still endorse it. I still think it's a good game. I enjoyed the 5 or so hours I put into it.
But you're just not man enough to beat it.
That's first and foremost the main reason.
Okay.
I don't think I properly learned the weapon crafting system. I think I took it too lightly. I didn't read the manual. I just stuck it in there, started running around doing shit, clicking yes, and you don't do that. You just don't.
Don't click yes unless you've read the fine print.
But I feel like I played enough of the game to get the gist of it, you know. So I'm going to Viking funeral that bastard, douse in a little kerosene, kick it out in the water, and set it ablaze, and get out of my backlog, get onto my shelf.
Oh yeah,
that's what I'm doing with it, kicking it right out of there. JD, do you have any experience with Vagrant Story at all?
I've never even heard of a Vagrant Story.
Well, let me save you the time.
No.
Don't do it.
No, it's good. it's a PlayStation 1 era. I guess it's kind of hard to explain, but it's like an action role-playing game that's kind of like splits some settings and genres around in some interesting ways. I think it's a cool game.
It's cool.
But it's...
Bit of a slog.
Yeah, I mean, it's back when RPGs were, I guess, a little... had a little slightly higher bar of entry, maybe. Like, you kind of had to be in that mindset and in the habit of playing RPGs to get into this, maybe. I don't know.
Is it turn-based like or real-time?
It's sort of both.
Yeah,
it really straddles
kind of
the
hybrid,
line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sort of like one of those weird Final Fantasy battle systems that tries to please both crowds, but doesn't really do a good job of either.
Gotcha.
In my opinion.
Like I said, I endorse it. It's not something I could stick with. All right, so that finishes up the games that we have completed and or retired from our backlog. We each beat a few, and that's great. So that takes us into what the community just tagged with their hashtag Just Beat It.
Just Beat It.
Take it away there, JD.
All righty. So Ryan at It's Rocket Sauce beat Yakuza 0, a game where a Japanese pirate and Elvis impersonator join forces and invent horse porn.
Now, I can't imagine a scenario where that would make any sense.
God, now, man. That's because it's a Yakuza game. Have you played one? They don't make sense.
That's a good point.
That game is excellent, man. It's one of my Game of the Year contenders, just so
Very
you know.
Nice. Very nice. All right, so Raj at RBHAGG, who is notoriously late for work and thinks leprosy is a type of jungle cat, beat Wolfenstein New Order.
Yeah, yeah.
That's, got around to New Order.
That's good. Good job
good
there,
job,
Raj.
Raj. Typical, late, as usual.
Yes, and leprosy is will make your parts fall off. You don't want it. You don't want it.
That's what happened to Edith Finch.
We're not just saying privates. We're just saying like parts.
Yeah.
Like,
what remains
just
of Edith's
around
foot? You know, what's, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Josh at Frantic Society beat Uncharted Lost Legacy, a game about two friends who embark on a crazy wild journey on a hunt for what causes that old people smell. What causes that?
Well, I mean, do you want to Google it?
Why do they smell different?
What's called? It's
death. Man.
It's death. It's the smell of death.
Hodge at Nintendo Hodge, who wrote the hook for the Black Eyed Peas song, My Humps, beat Super Mario Odyssey.
Yeah, it's about time, Hodge.
It's about time someone beat the game.
That game has been out for, what, 2 weeks?
Good Lord.
I don't know.
And also, good job on writing that song. I quite like it.
Yeah, it's a good one. All right, Miles, a Flock of Nerds, finished Resident Evil 4. Are you Raj? You're really late to this one. A game where Mickey Rourke's face spawns thousands of flesh-eating necrozombies after a botched injection.
Oh, God. Oh.
Man, you know, Mickey Rourke, a handsome fella back in the day.
He was. You know what the good Mickey Rourke movie is? The Wrestler.
I've heard that. And
you
actually, I've seen
it.
Bits.
It's
I've
good.
Bits.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, I think he was in an Iron Man, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was. He was like a tattoo guy, right? Or no, he was a bad guy. What am I thinking of?
He was a bad
of,
guy, I think, yeah.
What's the washed-up action hero movies?
Expendables.
I think he's in one of those, too.
Ah, nice. Catherine at K_Song finished Quick Spot, a game that ironically shares a name with the gas station near which Catherine met Miles selling Homemade Axe body spray. I don't know how you would make it.
The number one sin is called hello.
Hello, everybody. Yeah, that's Miles for you.
All right.
Sean at Cartridge Bros and Jeffrey at Self Destructo, two guys who guzzle pure Venusian black tar heroin to treat the sniffles, finished Mass Effect 2.
That's some hardcore sniffle treatment.
What is that? Venezuela? What is that? I can't.
Venezuela.
Venezuelan.
The damn underline in the text, man. Venezuelan. I'm sorry, folks.
It's all right.
It's okay.
They beat Mass Effect 2.
The important part, I think, is the black tar heroin.
Yeah.
Hey, man, anything to get rid of the sniffles, believe me.
Amen.
It'll happen. All right, Cliff at Cliff Hikes, who recently had to get a Happy Meal toy surgically removed, beat Legend of Zelda Four Swords Adventures.
Removed from where, Jake?
It doesn't matter.
Oh. Okay.
It's required a procedure. That's all that matters.
Brian at Hokey Briz, who recently downloaded an app that occasionally sends him reminders about the Alamo, finished Gears of War 4. It's a pretty good app.
You know, it's just called Remember the Alamo.
Yeah, and every now and then it's like, hey, Alamo.
Alamo.
Don't forget, bitch.
All right. Frankie at Viper Strike, a man who needs a ladder to make eye contact with JD's knees, finished Doom, a game known to cure erectile dysfunction and be a one-to-one replacement for crystal meth.
Very nice. It's the methadone of video games.
That is a good point. Now, you and JD go way back, or Frankie and JD go way back. You guys are best friends. So how often does he bring the ladder over to the house?
Well, I mean, you know, I don't want to get into specifics, but let's just say when we're hunting for that crystal meth, man, we got to have that eye-to-knee contact, you know?
Tight.
Okay, that takes us into the Poly Killers. People who beat more than one game.
All right, and leading off with Caleb at Caleb J. Ross, he finished Wolfenstein 2 and Jazz Punk, a game where Duke Ellington plays Sid Vicious covers. I would play that game.
You know, I don't think those two played music at the same time.
Doesn't matter.
I think one died before the other. I don't even know.
Sid Vicious died, of course.
So did Duke Ellington.
So did Nancy.
Oh. Who?
Nancy?
Nancy.
His girlfriend?
Nancy. Oh. Oh. I still don't know what you're talking about. Okay. I'm going to say, oh, like I did know. Kyle at Kyle underscore 325 underscore, who only recently learned that soiling oneself has nothing to do with dirt, finished Titanfall 2 and Super Mario Odyssey.
Ah, that's a good beer game.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Matt at X Matt Bandy X, who was once removed from a local art festival for submitting a drawing of Judge Judy's cleavage, finished Prisoner of War and Metroid Samus Returns. Jesus,
you gotta
Christ.
Be a sick fuck to draw Judge Judy's.
I mean, to be fair, it was just like the folds in her judge's gown.
That's right. That's some Christian cleavage right
yeah.
there.
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't too revealing. So what is Prisoner of War? What is that game?
Oh, that's an NES game. I think it's akin to I don't think it's
like
a beat-em-up.
Jackal or something?
I think maybe that,
okay.
Yeah.
That's kind of what the feeling I'm getting is like a Jackal-esque game. And maybe that's just me superimposing my wishes on it. All right.
Actually, it's a side-scrolling action game.
Okay. So it's not like Jackal.
No.
So
it's
an
arcade game as well.
Okay. Nice. All right. So Kyle at Doplick, who can't figure out why all the neighborhood kids have nicknamed him Stranger Danger, finished Kung Fu, Super Hot VR, and Bound.
All the neighborhood kids have nicknamed him Stranger Danger. I wonder why.
That's weird.
And they see him come, they're like, Stranger Danger! And maybe he's like, hey!
He's like, oh, I got some candy in my van. He doesn't talk like that.
I have no idea what he sounds like. All right, that takes us into the best and the most prolific poly killer
of all time.
Of all time.
All fucking time.
On a rampage, 10 days in a row, 10 games.
Nuts.
The legendary, the one, the only, and these aren't just your little bullshit games. These aren't, he's not fucking...
Kimiko.
He's not fucking playing Kimiko and What Remains of Edith's Foot. He's fucking putting some time in. Let's get into it. Musty at Musty Hobbit, who beat so many games the last 2 weeks that the game's social services came to take his collection away, finished Zexus, Kirby's Dream Land, Nier Automata, SteamWorld Dig, Yoshi's Woolly World, Vanquish, ReCore, Brotherhood, Tale of Two Sons, Last of Us Remastered, and Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Jeez.
Hammering them out, baby.
That's nuts.
Musty.
Musty, you deserve some kind of award. Let's give Musty an award.
Okay, JD, what do you got for Musty?
You know, I got a bone to pick with Musty. I think I'm just going to start playing my games till the last possible point and just beat them all like in 1 week just to, you know, put this guy to shame, you know.
Hey, whatever you can do to be the legendary poly killer and keep our feeble hashtag alive, do it.
Yes, please.
All right.
Congratulations, Musty. That's insane.
That is sweet, man. That's
games.
A nice list.
That's it's a good list of games. There's some of these I don't know what's up with them. I think Zexus is probably the one
Zexus,
that I don't
know.
Zexus,
yeah, that's an NES game that I beat not long ago, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, the only one that...
The rest of them, Vanquish. I really want to hear what you think about Vanquish, because this is a game that is seriously a baller-ass game that a lot of people missed out on in the 360 PS3 generation. It was basically like Platinum Games take on a Gears of War idea, and the game is solid, and people missed it, and it makes me sad, so... I'm glad it's back, Pat. Maybe it is. I don't know. I don't
probably
remember. But I'm glad he played it, and I really want to hear what he thought, because I think it's a great game.
It's a well-rated
cool.
game.
Yep.
Cool titties, guys. All right, sweet. So let's go into games that we've added to the backlog. So we've knocked a few off the pile of shame, but we can't help but adding a few more back on.
Absolutely.
JD, you thinking about adding anything to that pile of shame?
You know, I'm definitely going to be adding, like I said before, Xenoblade and that Breath of the Wild DLC, but... To be honest, those games are going to be beaten quite quickly. So, you know, it's just clearing out the stuff I already have, man. Just whatever I happen to feel like playing that day. And you know, I'll keep you guys posted with the Just Beat Its to let you know what's going on.
All right.
Nice.
All right. So I added just one, mainly because I haven't really shuffled anything else. But I did add Wonder Boy the Dragon's Trap. And this is a sweet, sweet little remake. Slash, well, it's not even really a remaster. I mean, it's a remake of the classic Wonder Boy game. and it's on the Switch. Picked it up, like I told you, picked it up on sale. I thought about getting the physical copy, but the physical copy is like $30, and I could get it digitally for $13. So I was like, yeah, just go digital. So lovely, beautiful, hand-drawn, beautifully animated. You can smash a button and switch back to the classic version anytime you want, which is always cool. And it's kind of fun to see like the updated interpretation of what these levels look like. So, lovely game, already started on it and having fun with it. So,
nice. Yeah, to me, that's one of those, Switch titles that's sort of, I guess secondary to a lot of people, but it has me really excited to when I get a Switch one day.
I mean, it's on other systems.
Sure, sure. But it just feels indelibly a Switch.
Yeah, it seems like a good Switch game. Like I've been wanting to get like a platformer or some kind of thing. For the Switch, so I've been sort of bouncing back and forth between Sonic Mania and this one, and then when this one went on sale, I was like, I get this one.
There you go, man. Good job. All right, so for me, I added three to the backlog. I cleared a few out, so I felt pretty good about adding a few more back in, and of course, with Black Friday, it afforded me the opportunity to do so.
All right.
Started off with a little Titty Fall 2. Of course, can't wait to play that. You've been talking it up for a long time, and I think recently our friend Catherine played it. Yeah. Or at least got it. So
I think she tried to. I don't think she could get it. Find it.
Well, shit.
Yeah. It was a damn shame. But Kyle just beat it. Somebody just beat it.
Yeah, that's true. We did go through the just. Somebody has recently completed the Titty Fall. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say I'm really hoping you enjoy it.
Oh, I
game's
think I will.
Excellent, eh, man.
Yeah.
Cool deal. And also, of course, that Buttman Enema Within. Of course, that's a great sabotage. Good job, whichever one you did that. Of course, Batman Enemy Within, Telltale game. I completely forgot was already completely out. I usually wait.
Out?
Yeah, I think so. Or at least that. Well, no, maybe the first three episodes. I'm sorry, first three episodes. Okay. But either way, I can't believe that I forgot that,
that
even anything of it had released yet. I sort of forgot it existed in general.
I really like the cover art and the promotional art for this game. It's very Frank Miller, and it hits me in my happy places.
You still haven't played the first season of it.
I have it.
I think you'll enjoy it.
I'm excited.
And then Dragon Ass Inquisition, which for a second I almost forgot what the name was actually called. It's Dragon Age Inquisition, and that's a hefty one. But boy, I'm adding right on the backlog.
See, now I noticed you playing this the other night, and I was like, well, hell, Tracy's trying something different.
No, and
this was you.
Yeah, as I was playing it, I was like, I wonder if Tracy would like this. But I think some of the mechanics get a little out of her.
It's cumbersome.
Yeah, a little out of her realm there.
It's cumbersome for me. Like, there's a lot to keep up with.
Yeah, I mean, I think she would definitely appreciate the first-person perspective all the way through a game like Skyrim.
Sure.
When you make that micromanaging, I don't think she's as into that, but I'll try.
I mean,
she played
Baldur's Gate, so.
That's a good point. So, yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I enjoyed the hell out of Inquisition. I really, really did like that game a lot.
I think it's sort of the full realization of what the Dragon Age game and formula was, and maybe hopefully is, but I
agreed.
Think it was the pinnacle of what they were trying to do with that series. One, the first one was good. Second one was kind of ass, and this was like full realization. So, good game.
All right. Speaking of things that are good, you got an ad read there.
No. Well, look at this. Look what just popped up on my screen. Cowtech. This episode is sponsored by Cowden Technologies, LLC. Cowtech focuses on product development in robotics, web apps, mobile apps, home automation, or some combination of the above. To learn more or to start a conversation about your future product or idea, send an email to info@cowden.tech.
And that is that's our good friends over at Cowtech. And, you know, I feel shame right now. Cowtech sent me. They said, hey, I got a website. Here's the URL, and I can't. I've been typing it in since JD started talking. I can't fucking find it. I don't know what it is.
We'll find it.
It's like caltech.com, caltech.com, caltech.tech, caltech.org. I don't fucking know what it is, but folks, if you really are interested, maybe just email him at info@whatever-the-fuck-JD just said. All right, so that's been our Caltech ad. Thank you, JD, for doing that. Now, if you guys like what you're hearing so far,
we know you do.
Just so you know, JD's not always with us, but typically it's just the other two clowns here, and we'll get JD back as often as we can. But you can check us out on Facebook. It's facebook.com/polykillpodcast. Of course, we're over at the Cartridge Club. It's cartridgeclub.org, short for organism.
Orgasm.
Polykill.com is where you can find all our stuff, blogs and shirts and all that bullshit. Hit us up over at polykillpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to holler at us, drop us a line, send us an off-kilter story. Please rate us on iTunes, whatever service you use. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. And, of course, find JD, all the places JD is. JD, where are you at all
the time?
Where
can people find you?
Well, you can find my podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud and the occasional episode on YouTube by searching for Play and Listen Gaming Podcast. And you can find me on Twitter at PlayNListen. So switch the word and with the letter N and you'll find me. And yeah, you can find the YouTube channel, youtube.com/PlayAndListen. And yeah, I think that's about it.
Cool deal. All right. Awesome. So we'll like to plug plug ourselves there when people right in the middle of the podcast, they don't see it coming.
Yeah.
And we just fucking plug it. Plug it right
Three
there.
Three dudes, Boom. One plug.
Three dudes, one plug. That's it, baby. And speaking of which, actually not speaking of which, I don't know why I said that. Sometimes I do that. I'll say speaking of which and then not. It's the
quintessential non-transition.
It really is. I don't know why I do it. I'm very sorry I did it. But not speaking of anything we just said, it is time for 1, 2, 3, 4.
The long play.
Girl. We fucking nailed it.
Yeah.
I think.
Eat your heart out, Mormon Tappin' Apple Choir.
Tappin' Apple.
Man, I don't have that southern twang you guys got, man. I'm just not. If it was me, I would pull the New Jersey version and be like, yeah, it's a long play. Forget about it.
There you go.
Forget about it.
That works just fine. The long play. So games we're spending the most time with in our backlog, the ones that we're committed to and we're taking to the altar. JD, what about you? What do you think?
I'm going to be diving into that Xenoblade and that Breath of the Wild. I know I keep repeating myself, so that's boring.
You're just a Nintendo fanboy, aren't you?
It would appear that way with this episode, but no, so man, I love everything.
Did you pre-order the old Xenoblade? Is it coming tomorrow?
I did.
Tomorrow's the release date? Or are you going to go out and pick it up? Are you going to get it digitally?
I'm going with the physical. I'm a connoisseur of physical games, so I'm going to grab it.
Switch carts, too, man. They're just so cool.
It's made you a physical media whore.
Not completely, but yeah, I mean, well, I think the number one reason that I think it has forced me, because like most of the Switch games that I've bought so far have been like first party stuff, and it's just cheaper to pre-order them through Amazon and get them for $47 than it is to wait. So, yeah.
Fair enough.
That's my shtick, but awesome. I'm anxious to hear what you think about Xenoblade. I played the first one on 3DS and liked it. This one seems to be a bit of a shift stylistically, at least artistic wise. But I'm curious to see how this one shakes down, so I can't wait to see what you think about it.
Yeah, I didn't play the first one, but I played Chronicles X, and overall, I dug that game a lot. It was a little bit too repetitive and fetch questy, but overall, I did enjoy it, and I think I'll probably get into this one pretty good.
Nice. I think it's reviewing pretty well. I think some early scores out are like 8s, 8.5s, 9s, so I think that's a good sign. Hope you didn't mind knowing that. Sorry.
No, that's fine, man. I'm ready. I'll play some 8.5s.
Damn right.
For me, like I said, I'm gonna stick with Dragon Age Inquisition for as long as I can. And the reason I started playing it the other night, you know, my Xbox does this fucking thing that Xboxes aren't supposed to do, where like you're like, I want you always on downloading shit all the time.
Right.
But then I go to turn it on, and it's like, hey man, all your downloads are queued, and we didn't do anything while you were gone.
I was like, fuck you.
We got drunk, and we didn't download anything. I mean, we know you got a bunch of games ready to download, but we just didn't get around to it. We thought you were gonna play the PS4 or something. We weren't ready, so. Because I didn't have Titanfall 2 to jump into, I poked around the games and I was like, you know what? I actually paid for this game. This wasn't a free one.
Dick.
I paid every bit of 14 hard-earned dollars for it. I'm going to get in there and run around in a little Dragon Age Inquisition, hacking in and slashing in, imagine my crew. And it was fun, killing baddies with my sword and getting that loot, baby girl. Now, I didn't realize that it was so much like Dragon Age Origins in terms of the mechanic. And it's a little bit different. It's a little more streamlined for console.
It is.
But I like it so much. I love how you just sort of, you know, you go here and do this, you go here and do this, and then you just hold in that right trigger and speed up the battle and sort of watch your decisions play out and stop it at any time and jump in and micromanage. That's really neat.
It's one of those one of those indelibly BioWare things, because, I mean, they've been doing this sort of semi-real-time stuff for a long time. My first exposure to it was Knights of the Old Republic on the OG Xbox when I played that. And then seeing sort of the evolution of that in Inquisition was a real treat. I think it's a really cool idea, and I like it.
For sure. Now, I didn't realize something, because I did a little digging about this game, because I saw it come up when the game started, and it said 2014, and I was like, man, I forgot. I didn't realize this game had been around that long.
It still looks great, too.
It does still look great. I mean, the facial animation, it looks a little aged, in it, you know.
Comparatively,
for sure. Yeah. But other than that, it's really good. But I didn't realize, and I don't know what I was doing in 2014 or what games I was playing, but I didn't realize how many Game of the Year awards Dragon Age Inquisition won in 2014.
Slayed.
And I was looking, I was like, what other games came out that year? And I can't decide whether it was a dearth of just really like big hitters that came out of nowhere, or if it really was that good, because obviously this is my first time playing it. Think of some games that came out in 2014. Can you remember any that stick out in your mind besides Dragon Age Inquisition?
I'm bad with years, but I think The Last of Us came out in 2014?
2013 was the last.
2013, okay.
Yeah. Anybody take it away?
Oh, man, don't, I have no
idea. Dark Souls 2? Came out that year.
There you go.
That's technically an RPG.
You sure?
What about Titanfall?
Titanfall came out that year.
Okay.
Middle-Earth Shadow of Mordor.
Okay.
Came out that year. That was a pretty big one. This is when the Wii U was sort of delivering some hits. Super Smash and Mario Kart 8 came out that year.
Damn.
Bayonetta 2, Alien Isolation. Wolfenstein New Order came out that year.
Wow.
Assassin's Creed Unity, The Evil Within. So there were some solid games there.
Yeah.
Then again, you know, Dragon Age Inquisition, a game that I feel has slipped from a lot of people's minds collectively.
Perhaps.
It was a game of the year, overwhelmingly by several publications.
It's interesting because I think what happened, my opinion, is Dragon Age Inquisition comes out and is like, hey, good-ass game, culmination of all the work we've been putting in on this Dragon Age series. And then next year, a little game called Witcher 3, or Witcher Wild Hunt, comes out.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
yeah.
And it's still relevant. And I think that's probably what happened. That game basically just set its foot down in front of Dragon Age, or just squashed it like a bug in some ways. And that's why people don't think about it.
That's a good point.
I actually have a theory about The Witcher 3 and the next Elder Scrolls game. I think that after The Witcher 3 came out, and I don't think it's just Elder Scrolls. I think a lot of developers and publishers saw that game, saw what they did with it, realized how good it was, realized how well it was received, and shelved their open world game. I really think that's part of why Elder Scrolls is going to take longer than normal.
I think it's probably why I've been force fed Skyrim so much again in the last year too. They're like, hey, we made a cool RPG too. You guys loved it like 5 years ago, so please keep playing it.
Think about playing The Witcher when it came out. Like nothing was like that. Like nothing was that good. No
it's
way.
True. Are you done talking about Dragon Age?
I'm done talking about Dragon Age. I know you're over there salivating about...
But no, here's why.
Oh, okay.
Because this is the perfect segue. We're talking about The Witcher.
Okay.
So my long play is Assassin's Creed Origins, which draws heavily from The Witcher Wild Hunt.
Now, how deep in that are you?
I am roughly 22 inches in.
Sabotage for you there at home.
Very
it's
nice.
At hours.
It's at hours. So I'm about 22 hours into this thing, which is a lot more time than I put into an Assassin's Creed game in 3 years. Because I skipped Unity and was thinking about picking up Syndicate, but when I saw Origins, I was like, I'll just go with this one instead. Really glad I did. And this is a game that I feel like I'm kind of in that Titanfall 2 space again with, where I'm like, please play this game, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You should play this game. It's great. But like no one is, except, you know, maybe a few people. But AC Origins, definitely like side quest wise, it's straight up Witcher Wild Hunt. Straight up. Like you go find a question mark or an exclamation point on the map. And they're like, hey, you know, I need something from somebody, you know, like the character you play is a Magi, so he's like a protector of the people, like, you know, almost a predecessor to modern police force. And so he's like, his job is for the people as a protector. And like, so these people come to you and like, hey, I need help with this. I know you're equipped for this. And then like, you think it's going to be something simple, but then it turns into like, well, fuck, I didn't know this was going to happen when I tried to do this for this person. And then you just keep rolling on out. And like some of these side quests take... Like, to be frank, like, there are times when I've been playing, I'm like, wait, is this the main quest, or is this just a side quest I picked up?
That's so very Witcher-like right there.
Yeah, Witcher-like. So, like, structure-wise, it's awesome. The world is massive. The world is beautiful. And there is just a lot of fun to be had in this game, whether it's, like, there's rogue animals that you can, like, it's almost in a Far Cry kind of sense. So, like, you'll be, down by some water, and you'll just see these people running from these charging hippos, and you go take out the hippos, or, you know, a giant crocodile is trying to kill somebody, so you go kill that, and then you get to take their hide and use it to upgrade stuff. But none of it feels forced. It's all just very organic. And, it basically fixed most of the problems that I've had with Assassin's Creed as a franchise. So I'm really happy I got this game, and the fact that I've almost been playing it exclusively, I think, says a lot about the game to me. So, there you go.
There you go. All right. So more Assassin's Creed Origins. How far into the main quest do you think you are? I mean, percentage-wise,
Boy,
you think?
I don't know. You know? I really have no idea.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, I've not been, like, I've not kept my thumb on that pulse. I've just been going out and running around having fun and, you know, climbing stuff that can be climbed and stabbing people that need being stabbed. And, like, I've got my predator bow all leveled up so I can pull the trigger and, like, direct my arrow as it shoots and shoot people around corners and shit. It's awesome.
There you go, man. Well, good to hear it.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the side quest. Games are playing on the side. We don't tell the long play about these games. Now, I'm playing a couple. One is Sunset Riders. Sunset Riders.
What is that, Nail Fan?
Now, it was a coin-operated game there back in the day on the JAMA in 1991, and ported over to the SNES and the Genesis, and of course, I'm playing the SNES version there. It's a side-scrolling, run-and-gun arcade-style game where you're a cowboy. You're an outlaw. You're an outlaw!
I'm a cowboy, baby.
That's right. I thought I knew I'd get you into it. I knew I'd get you singing. But you're just an American Old West bounty hunter. It's very arcade-style. You got a gun, and you got a gun, and you're running through left and right shooting the bad dudes.
Okay, so like Gunman Clive or something like that? Have you played Gunman Clive?
No, I've not played it.
That game is cool, man.
I love that game.
Okay, I've not played it. It could be.
On 3DS. That's probably why you haven't played it.
I got that game for like 35 cents on the 2DS like a month ago.
Wow.
It's a fun little game.
Yeah, and Sunset Riders I think is very fun too. I've gotten pretty far into it. Again, it's arcadey, so it does have a stiff difficulty curve, and especially toward the end where I've gotten to, and I'll get it eventually, but it's been tough. Nice cough. And then also Cold Fear. Game, of course, I've been playing with my buddy Brian. We play the scary games together there on the couch so we can hug and hold one another when it gets scary. And, of course, this game was I looked into this a little bit because I was curious. I'm like, who made that Gold Fear? And a game called Darkworks. Jake, you're the... You're the developer
GameWorks.
It's called Darkworks.
Darkworks.
Yeah, your developer file. What else is Darkworks?
Oh, I have no fucking clue.
They've done Alone in the Dark. And I Am Alive. And then they disbanded.
I Am Alive was meh. I think it's probably why they fell apart.
That's exactly around the time that they disbanded.
Yeah, then that wasn't a great game.
But that's who made Cold Fear, published by Ubisoft. And just killing both zombies, baby. Killing both zombies, baby, girl. And it's a lot of fun.
So this is basically The Thing, but on a boat with zombies.
I feel like it's Resident Evil 4 on a boat.
Okay.
I don't really know much about The Thing, I'll be honest with you. I mean, you could be right. Nice. But it is very Resident Evil-y. I think almost to a ripoff. I think during its time that turned a lot of people off. I did a little research. That game only sold 70,000 copies.
Ouch.
Not great, but...
It's not good at all, friend.
And I think it's just... it's a solid 7 out of 10 game. Like, it is the exemplary 7 out of 10. Very, I think, underappreciated.
Okay.
And for its time, I think people were like, this is a ripoff. But it has aged well.
Okay.
So it's still okay to play.
Very cool.
So that's that for me, SideQuest. Take it away, somebody. What do you got?
What you got, JD?
I'm just going to be playing Prey again, playing through it. The game is kind of basically offers you two ways to engage in the RPG stuff. So I'm going to try it the other way now just because I loved that game, man. It was really good. So firing that up here and there, that's probably mostly what I'm going to be doing besides the main knocking out the backlog stuff.
I've heard people compare this to BioShock a bit, and I've heard some people compare it to, I guess mainly BioShock, but maybe a little bit Dishonored too. Obviously, it's an arcane game, but how do you think that feels?
So I call these like games that draw their lineage from Deus Ex and System Shock and BioShock. I call them like Deus Shock games, like just very simple way to remember that they are drawn from those games or whatever. But not trying to be clever or anything. It's just the way I try to simplify it. But it's a lot like those games, and it's weird. Some people loved it, some people hated it. I think a lot of that had to do with it came out right after that whole Bethesda no review thing. So I feel like that kind of might have rubbed people a little bit the wrong way. Plus, it's one of those games which it's really, you got to really be into the immersive, read every little computer thing and take the time to upgrade and backtrack. But I loved it. I really did. It's probably my game of the year besides Breath of the Wild.
No shit.
Yeah, awesome. But so, the thing is, you got to like those
scary?
Deus Ex games.
Oh, I do.
Is it what?
Yeah, I love those. Is it scary at all? Is it like jump scares or horror elements? I feel like there's some there.
So there's the jump scares are there. Those are like the cheap scares, right? But it's more like creepy, if that makes sense. Like anxiety would be the word like that comes to mind. Like it's very nerve-wracking.
So it's more like The Omen and less like Saw.
Yeah, it's definitely more in the moodier, dark area than the horror kind of area.
Very nice. I'm excited to play it. Like I said, pick that up for 15 smackaroos.
That's a deal, man.
Probably be the new year before I get to it, but I'm excited to jump in.
And by new year, you mean 2019?
Oh, shut up! So for me, my side quest is simply just going to be Wonder Boy. I'm just going to play that, and it's one of those games I think I can probably get through pretty quick, but just some little burst sessions, maybe on lunch at work, or maybe just like half an hour to an hour before I go to bed, something like that. And just, you know, jump around and have some fun, some adorable art. And I'm glad I got the game and happy to play it.
Cool, man. All right. So
everything is cool, man.
Before we take it into the discussion, I did want to say I did locate our sponsor's URL. It is going to be Cowden.tech is where you'll go there. And if you visit over there, he tells you all about his robot autonomy, his home automation, his software engineering, and all that stuff. And we, once again, want to thank Cowden Tech for sponsoring us.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Cowden.
All right, so now... Yeah, Cowden. You need to get sponsored, JD. You need to get some Monster Energy drink or something, or some fucking tampons. Well, I don't know.
I'm sponsored by I don't know. I was trying to think of something clever. I couldn't think of it.
Corona. I don't know.
There you go. Modelo. We're going to be talking about JD. Play and listen.
Let's discuss.
We want to introduce JD to a lot of the folks that listen to us over at the club and so forth and everywhere around.
Oh, hey, guys.
Yeah, hello. It's JD. He's been talking for about an hour now. Here's some questions for JD. JD, we're going to streamline these. It's like an interrogation, okay? It's like we caught your podcast doing something terroristic, and we're trying to get to the bottom of it.
We're going to play L.A. Noir. But we can't see your face.
Yeah, it's going to be like good cop, bad cop, except we're both just kind of dumb cops.
Mayberry cop.
Hey, that's timely, right?
Yeah, Jim Neighbors died.
Jim Neighbors did die.
Oh, fuck.
When did you start your podcast, JD? How long has that Play and Listen been cooking around?
A little bit over a year. Actually, probably almost about a year and a half now. 2016, the summertime, is when I fired it up.
Summer of 16, that's a good one.
So how many episodes are you up to now, by the way?
69.
Oh. Wow, did you time that just for us?
You know, maybe. We'll see.
He's not at 69. He's at like 63, but he was like, I'll just say 60.
Yeah, probably. So you started that podcast a couple summers ago. What made you start it? How did you go from
not having a podcast to
growing the balls and saying, because it's tough to do a podcast, number one, by yourself, I would think.
Yes.
So tell us about that journey.
All right. So really there's two parts to it. So I've always kind of been interested in more creative things, if you want to call it that. Artistic things. Not saying I'm very good at it, but you know, just something that's interests me. And so I'd started listening to podcasts, being, you know, I've been working in the same place for almost 7 years now, so things start getting pretty boring and repetitive. You know you can only listen to classic rock on the radio so many times, so I started actually, you know, using my iPhone for something useful besides texting and using the podcast app. So I started listening in, like, you know, history, philosophy podcast, political podcast, and that last one, especially with the climate, you know, over the past few years, just became so stressful. So I was like, you know, let me find something less stressful to listen to besides music, because, you know, I'm always listening to music, you know, sure, alternating. And I was like, you know, video games, why not? I love video games. It's one of my favorite ways to relieve stress. So I started listening to gaming podcasts, and naturally the ones I discovered are your typical IGN, Game Informer, GameSpot, Eurogamer, you name it, like the mainline ones, if you will. And I just kind of started getting like fed up with, and you know, this is me, this is my opinion, I'm not a huge fan of the big alphabet soup outlets of IGN and, you know, all them. And it's not the individuals or anything, it's just the way everything is. I don't like the whole review score thing personally, so I started getting a little, like, you know, fired up, like, wait a second, this guy's totally wrong here. This guy, like, I'm shouting at the wall at work. People are like, what is this guy doing? Why is he yelling at the wall about video games? And so that kind of inspired me to, I was like, you know what, I should make a damn podcast and show these people what a regular, you know, working class gamer is like, you know what I mean? Not some fancy pants in San Francisco. And then, you know, so, but before I got to that point, I started looking for alternative podcasts that aren't, you know, big time, so organic ones. And that's actually how I discovered your guys' show. I literally typed into Google gaming podcasts and found a website. I forget the site. I think I sent you the link once, Trav, of the, it's just every single, it's probably Libsyn's actual, like, webpage for all, yeah, yeah, something like that. And I just, by chance, clicked your guys' logo and, you know, started listening and loved it, obviously. Still listen every episode. And also looked up a couple on YouTube, which I found a friend of the show, of my show, the guys on YouTube, Next Level Gaming, original Next Level Gaming. And then they had Frankie, a friend from Short Pause. And those, the three of you guys, Polykill, Short Pause, and NLG, I've just been listening to you guys. And I was like, you know what, let's try to do something. If these guys can do it, I could do it too, for fun. And then I realized I didn't want to talk about news very much. I wanted to focus more on the music, and it just evolved over time to be less about, you know, news and topics and more just about the music. That was long-winded, but that's it.
No, and that's a neat story, and we're glad you and those seven other people have clicked on our icon in the past. And, you know, it I mean, a lot of it just goes to show that a lot of your... you know, the reason that we know one another is just completely by chance. You were just drawn to a logo, you clicked on it, and now look at us. We're featuring each other on our podcast and that kind of thing. So it's
absolutely,
when you say organic, I really do appreciate that aspect of what we do, and that we can.
It's very grassroots, and I enjoy that.
It is, and it's a lot, yep, of fun. We've gotten to meet a lot of cool people over the last year, of course, you included. So we're glad you got to where you are, and your podcast is pretty
Thanks,
fantastic.
Man.
I mean, you've gotten to interview a lot of really neat creators and musicians, especially in the gaming industry. Talk a little bit about that. Who have you had on the show, and what's that been like?
All right. So, yeah, now that is one of my favorite things about doing the podcast is getting to talk to people who actually do something with their music. Like, I play and write and record music for fun, and I don't really have any particular aspirations, you know, nothing crazy at least, to do with it. So when I see that people actually do something with their music, meaning like put it out there to the public and produce a quality product or whatever, I really appreciate that. So getting to talk to them is really cool. And yeah, one day I was just, you know, I made the Twitter for the podcast as a means of communication and doing some light promotion. I'm not the greatest networker or promoter, but I just got a follow from this guy Jason at Scarlet Moon Productions, and he's like, you know, something video game promoter, video game music promoter. So I just shot him a DM. I was like, hey, you got anybody who wants to talk about their music? And he's like, yeah, I'll put you on the press list. And boom, I just started getting hit with all of these awesome Materia Collective projects, which they do like official game music. They do the Undertale music. Anyway, you should check out Materia Collective of stuff on, I think, okay, it's just materiacollective.com to get an idea, but they do like a lot of original stuff, arrangements, some official game music, and yeah, just talk to these people. They're inspired to make game music, and it's just really cool. And then yeah, recently I got to talk to Darren Korb, who did the music for all the Supergiant games like Bastion, Transistor. It's just really cool, like organic, not homemade wouldn't be the word, but he does everything himself. Like, it's not like he hires some crazy ensemble to do his stuff. He does it all pretty much himself with, you know, with help from a few people. So that was really cool. And he came on the show and shared some of his music and stories, and it was really good.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I'm a huge fan of Darren's work. And I think one of the most standout things about the Supergiant Games is the music, so that's fantastic.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's I was trying not to like blow smoke at him the whole time, because right, you know, I'm the type of person who's just like, and this is actually one of your guys' pet peeves, isn't it? I'll say, oh, I love everything, like, but like I am sincerely a person who, it's hard for me not to like something as far as like music or anything
that's
like
cool,
that
though.
goes. That's so
cool.
So I was like, you know, I don't want to say I love his music because I say that to everyone, but I really do enjoy his music quite a bit. It's very good.
Yeah, it was a good interview. And another one that you did, you interviewed Stimmage, who...
Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah, I discovered him at MAGFest, and then it was just kind of cool that I saw him pop up on your feed one day, and I was like, holy crap, you never told me you were interviewing... Not like you have to tell me who you're interviewing, but I was like, I didn't know you were interviewing that guy. Well, so that was really neat.
You know, the thing with that is, so like I was saying, give a shout out to Jason again, and he emails me all their new releases, like with a little press kit so I can listen to the music, and... This is one of the downsides of doing it by myself. I just don't have enough time to necessarily iron out a day to interview and talk to all these people. So it's kind of random. I don't even necessarily know when the interview's going to happen until the week of sometimes, you know.
Wow. That's interesting. Cool. Well, that's cool that you have that ability to I mean you've linked up with this guy, so you sort of have this not really endless, but you have a wealth of fodder for your show that you can always have a guest on or something like that. So that's pretty good for your podcast.
Yeah, it's been I've been very lucky with that.
So music history for you, you know, did you grow up, did you learn how to play music, or do you play an instrument? Like, what's your music history? Why are you so into it?
Yeah. I mean, I actually started at a pretty young age, like doing the old saxophone in school, learning how to do music the quote-unquote proper way. And then kind of, you know, I did that for several years or whatever, and then kind of faded away, tried to learn guitar, and just picking up a little book and learning how to do Mary Had a Little Lamb is just not the way for a young teenage boy to learn guitar, I guess. So put that down, picked up drums, and then after that... finally taught myself guitar the right way, and now I just play whatever I can get my hands on. So I'm a huge fan of music in general.
Now, do you record yourself at all, or are you in a have you done anything with any bands or anything like that? Do you have any projects for yourself?
I've played some live music myself, did a little guitaring and singing and drumming live, and I actually make my own video game inspired music. It's something kind of recent I've gotten into. It's not necessarily... it's basically just me mimicking Halo or Destiny music at this point, and I kind of use them for like some of my YouTube montages I do. So, yeah.
So do you use like a lot of their music for like backing tracks and play over it, like that kind of thing, or...?
No. Martin O'Donnell and Michael Salvatore were the main composers for all the Halo games up until 4, and then they... both did the original Destiny soundtrack, and then Martin O'Donnell left, and Michael Salvatore does it for Destiny 2. But anyway, their style, they have that particular, it's like a classical orchestral style music mixed with a clear like bedrock of like rock and roll music too. Yep. It's a very specific type of music that, you know, if you heard it you would recognize it in a second, but that it's very piano driven and drum rhythm driven, and I just really like that. I love those games first of all, so, and the music just seems to fit really well, and it's something I feel like I can you know, write myself, even if it's not nearly as good. It's just something that comes out a little more naturally, I guess.
I think that we were talking about the Bungie music, it was the I think it was Halo 2 that had the Steve Vai play on it, and along with all those big orchestral moments and those big choral moments that we like from Halo. So, yeah, really cool style of music. I don't know why that isn't a concert tour. I really don't like, Zelda music is. Like, that totally should be.
Right. It's something I say on my podcast all the time, probably to my listeners', disappointment of hearing me repeat it all the time. But it's something that fascinates me is how video game composers are the only ones who seem to be able to mix genres together so well. Like, if you put like a, I've used this specific example. Imagine watching like Saving Private Ryan, and there's like a kind of a hip hop drum beat or electronic drum beat happening with the orchestral music playing over it. It just wouldn't work, right? But in a Call of Duty game, it works perfectly. Like, how do they do that? How do they get away with it and have the skill to make it work? You know, I think that's fascinating.
Yeah, and that is very interesting, and I noticed that you got to ask sort of that question about fusing genres together to Darren Korb in the last podcast, and I thought his answer was pretty interesting too, so that's more incentive for
Absolutely.
People to go back and listen to some of your stuff. Cool. So the thing about your, you know, your Play and Listen podcast, that's obviously all about the music, all about you interviewing folk or sharing your favorite tracks or having guests share their tracks. But your YouTube channel is often very different. What do you do on that YouTube channel?
So the YouTube channel is more so if the podcast is like an official proper format for sharing game music and discussing it, the YouTube channel is more of my like kind of freestyle platform where I can just I stream games every week, every Monday and Friday. I'll stream a game and I'll upload montage videos of me wrecking people in Halo, much to Frankie's disappointment. And
Frankie doesn't believe you're good at Halo.
You know, the thing is, like, I try to be modest, but the truth is, like, he just, it would take, like, four clones of him versus me by myself to even get one kill in any shooter, so, you know.
I love the rivalry. It's so good.
Nah,
so, yeah,
Frankie knows I love him.
Yeah, I've checked out both your Playing Listen podcast and your YouTube channel. It gets the full Polykill endorsement, so we encourage everyone to go over and check all your stuff out.
It hurt.
Jake, you got anything else for JD here?
No. I think we pretty much covered, you know, any question that I would have asked. So the only thing that I would ask in addition to content-wise is when do you release your podcasts? Is it on a set schedule? Is it weekly, biweekly? How do you release?
So it's not to the day, but I like it to be up for the work week because that's how I got into listening to podcasts. It helps people, myself included, get through the work day, the commute. So it'll always be up by Monday night with a few exceptions. Sometimes life can intervene, but generally speaking, it's always going to be ready for Monday night. Usually like Saturday late, it'll be up.
Okay.
Very cool, man. Awesome. So everybody can look forward to JD. So that pretty much closes out the show. Once again, we want to thank JD for hopping on here with us. This won't be the last time you hear from JD on our show. We enjoyed having him on, and maybe you'll hear us on Play and Listen from time to time as well.
Got to get Jake on.
Absolutely.
Got to get Uncle McAxel in there, baby girl. When are you going to do it? Have you thought about the songs you're bringing?
No. Like we were going to do it maybe last weekend, but just
sometime
schedules fall apart.
Post Thanksgiving was our loose loose plan for it, but yeah, we'll right. have some time to do it soon, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, it's, you know, our guideline was sort of like feeding gremlins. Don't feed them after midnight. We don't really know at what point after midnight it's okay to feed them, because at a certain point they have to eat, but, you know, that's the way our podcast is. After Thanksgiving.
That was a really solid analogy. Okay. I enjoyed the shit out of that. That was really good. So you can follow us on Twitter at Polykill. I'm at Trav Plays Games.
I'm at the McAxel.
And JD, where are you?
At Play and Listen.
You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/Polykill Podcast. Please subscribe to our Sad and Lowly YouTube channel. We don't YouTube anything cool like JD does. We just throw the podcast up there and wish for the best. You can rate us on iTunes. Rate JD's podcast wherever you can find that son bitch. Polykill.com is where you can find t-shirts, mugs, mouse pads, fucking t-shirts. I just occurred to me that
mouse pads, fucking t-shirts.
Yeah, well, I was going to say we had a contest we're going to talk about, but next episode we'll be talking about a contest we have planned.
Yeah.
Cartridgeclub.org, that's short for orgasm.
Organism?
Sorry about that, messing up. That's where you can talk to us and all the members of the club. Polykillpodcast@gmail.com is where you can send all your off-kilter stories, any complaints that you have, especially for Jake.
Yeah, those go to the trash.
And JD, any final words here?
No, man, just thanks for having me on. It's I've been a fan of you guys before I ever even did a podcast, and I'm happy to talk with you guys, and I look forward to having Jake on and having you back on, Trav. So thanks again.
Sounds good, man. Thank you, and that's it for the show. We'll see you later.